have enjoyed looking at it. And I know sometimes, I say this before, sometimes I have this tendency to overanalyze stuff, and I get down to the nitty-gritty, the small details that a lot of times, I'm asking, maybe a lot of folks just aren't necessarily, I'll say, not interested in, but there are just a lot of details it seems like the Lord just kind of brings out, and I enjoy looking at these things here. Now, what I want to do just briefly this morning, we'll start at verse number 6, and we'll read down here toward the end of the chapter, and just kind of put some things in context. We won't get through the entire chapter this morning, I don't think. Now, it's possible that we will, but just kind of look at some things here we'd mentioned. Verse 6 of Philippians 4 says, "Be careful for nothing." And remember, that means full of care. It means don't be anxious, don't be fretful, as it were. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And remember, the Lord tells us that that's the cure for anxiety. A lot of times we're so anxious about things, family members, situations, etc. But just remember that that's how God remedies us, or gives us a remedy for anxiety. "Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And he says, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Tell us, let's stop right there, and we'll read the other verses in just a moment as we go down through them. And just, Lord, we ask you to, we've already prayed, we just ask you to bless the word this morning and help us as we open these truths up today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, just briefly, verse number 8, I feel like it, when I go back over that, I know I've hit these verses the last couple of weeks, but it just, every time I read these verses, I want to reemphasize just a couple of things. Number one is that God tells us the remedy for anxiety. We looked at that in verse 6 and 7. People don't have a lot of peace this day and time. There's a lot of things going on. I mean, honestly, when you turn on, whether you turn on CNN, whether you turn on Fox News, whether you turn on MSNBC, whatever news outlet that you prefer, I mean, you look at it, it is absolutely depressing and will cause great anxiety. How many of y'all remember back in the early 80s, I think it's like 1984, there was a movie that was called The Day After. Anybody remember that? That was the movie where they bombed, the Russians bombed somewhere over in Kansas, They went to the, right in the middle of the continental U.S., and it scared me half to death because I was thinking, I'm going to wake up the next day to global thermonuclear war, and that's it. I mean, it put me into a lot of anxiety. And as a little kid, you know how it is. You get very scared, those type things. Well, the Lord tells us here, and you got to remember, where's Paul at? He's in a Roman prison. He does have access to folks in Caesar's household. We'll see that down here toward the end of the chapter in verse number 22. He's got access to folks in Caesar's household. The gospel's getting there. But Paul is not necessarily the free man he'd like to be. He's facing death. In chapter 1, he talks about how that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, because it very easily, it's just up to the will of Caesar. He could have said, spare him or kill him, either one. And if Caesar would have said to kill him, then they would have lopped his head off, and that would have been it. Paul's body would have gone down, but before his head hit the ground, he'd have been in heaven with the Lord." And so, Paul's in this place where not everybody would be able to have the same attitude Paul is. And he's saying in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about everything. If you're anxious, you've got a lot of anxiety, how do we fix that? We pray, we supplicate with thanksgiving. Prayer's talking to the Lord. Supplication means we bring that same thing back to the Lord over and over again. And we do that with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And then here's what happens, verse 7. Once we do that, once we realize we don't need to have all that anxiety, once we pray about it, we supplicate, we bring our thanksgiving to God, the Bible says the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse number 7. Someone says, "Preacher, I just don't have peace about it." Then go back up to verse 6 and see if there's anything in verse number 6 that maybe you either failed to do or failed to do enough. When someone says, "I don't have a lot of peace about this," the Bible tells us that it's by prayer in supplication with thanksgiving, let those requests be made known unto God. A lot of times, we'll be on here on a Wednesday night. I say we will. Churches in general, let me just say it this way. And we'll say, pray about this situation. Or someone may even say, I have an unspoken request. Many times that happens. And that unspoken request, no one knows what it is. But it could be in your particular situation, there's a situation that's causing you a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. You don't know what to do about that. And you cannot seem to get any kind of peace about that. What do you do to get the peace? Keep bringing that back to the Lord until the Lord answers. Bring it back to the Lord until the Lord answers. And so the Bible says here, when we do that in verse 6, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. There's something about breaking through in your prayer life, and you know that the Lord's going to answer a prayer. You know that. There's something about that. And when you do that, that'll give you some peace about it. Now, once you've done that, what's the first thing we do? We've prayed about it. We've gotten some victory. We maybe even come down to the altar, and we lay things down at the altar. We sing the old song, is your all on the altar laid? Lay it all down there. And when you get up and go back to your seat, what do? You pick it up, you put it back on your shoulder, and you carry it right back to the seat with you. Now, we Baptist folk are real good about being guilty about that. We pick it up and go right back to the seat with it. Well, here's what we need to do. Once we've dropped that off into the lap of God, laid it into the lap of God, I left my house situation in the lap of God. There's a place I really wanted to get. Miss Sharon's trying to work hard, trying to get us to get a place. And we got outbid on it. Well, I'm not laying awake at night, eating Rolaids and twiddling my thumbs and thinking, what am I going to do? When God's prepared, if I do what I'm supposed to do, I just figure God's going to do what He's supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? God's going to take care of us. But I could lay awake at night and let that really, fret over me. I could lay awake and think to myself, okay, the church folk know that we're using the light bill. We're using electricity. We're using the water. Of course, the water don't cost us anything. And so the preacher, he's not the cleanest guy. I've seen his desk. Y'all haven't seen my desk? You want to feel good about your housekeeping? Take a look at my desk before you leave. You'll feel a whole lot better about your housekeeping before you leave. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the church folk probably won't say, get out of the church, man. Pitch a tent outside and get out of the church. I could let all those things, that anxiety come in, the devil kind of feeds you stuff. But here's the thing. When we lay things into the lap of the Lord and let Him have it, what are we supposed to do? Do we pick those things back up? We replace those things. What do we replace them with? Look in verse number 8. Here's what you replace your anxieties with. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. And I think I jokingly said here a while back, that's why you don't want to watch too many newscasts. There's no good reports on there hardly at all. It's all bad, it seems like. But here's what you do. You replace those things in your life that cause anxiety with things that are true. The only thing that you're going to see that is ultimate truth is the Bible that you hold in your hand. That's ultimate truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when I look at those things in verse number 8, I look at them, the opposite of truth is falsehood. Or a lie. The opposite of honesty is dishonest. The honest of just is unjust. If I look at those things in an opposite manner, it helps me to know what I need to think on. And if I'm not thinking on things that are unjust, that are dishonest, that are impure, I think on things that are false, what kind of things am I thinking about? Well, I'm thinking about the old writers used to say the veracity, the truthfulness of God. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's what it says in verse number 6. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We believe that. And they said, okay, I'm going to lay that down at the altar. I'm going to lay it down. I trusted the Lord. There it is. And then all of a sudden, some doubts come into your mind. Can God really take care of that situation? Can God? Okay, listen to me. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Is it true that God has all power? Is it true that God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? Is that true? If that is true, then we need to remember the things that we have laid down at the altar, so to speak, the things that we've set at the feet of God. We don't have to worry about those things anymore. Let the Lord take care of them. He's going to handle those situations. We've already seen God can't lie. He's not dishonest. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." God cannot lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. So we look at these things in verse number 8. The Lord is true. He's honest. He's just. He's pure. He's lovely. And the Lord gives a good report. Hallelujah. So replace your anxieties with the truths of God's Word. Here's the place we've got to come to, church. And I'm going to tell you this. I've been guilty of reading through the Bible and just kind of reading it like I would any other book, reading it like you'd read a newspaper, just read through it. But what you've got to do is let the truth that you read become real to your heart. Listen to me. That truth is written to you. Now, I understand people say, "Well, preacher, not all the Bible is written to us. It's all written for us." I understand that. I'm not building an ark, okay? The Lord told Noah to build the ark. I'm not going to build an ark. The Lord didn't even call me to build a church. He just called me to preach. I heard one preacher say this, "You fill the pulpit, let the Lord fill the pew." I like it. I like that. Here's the thing I want you to understand. When you read those promises, don't be like I've been for so long and just say, "Well, that applies to Miss Barb because she's a nice person. That applies to Miss Lily because she's a sweet lady. That applies to Brother Artie because he's a nice man. But it doesn't apply to me because, well, I know all my shortcomings." Maybe none of y'all think that way, but that's kind of the way that sometimes I'll read through the Bible and I'll think, that applies to Brother so-and-so because, you know, he's deserving of having the blessings of God, but I'm not deserving of that. But I got to stop and think and remember, there's nobody in this church, outside the church, or in this entire world who is worthy of the blessings of God. And that includes me. None of us are worthy. So that means any promises that God makes to us, I can claim them. They're made to me. Those promises are mine. God said, "I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world." If God deserts me, listen to me, God's a liar. If God deserts one of His children, God is a liar. God's not going to desert one of His youngins. God's going to watch over me. God's all bringing it to protect me. Every one of us in here who are fathers, you hear those news stories about these sorry dads who don't provide for their family, they don't love their kids, they abuse their kids, they're not interested. What does it do to those of us who are dads? We want to take them outside the building and expound unto them the way of God more perfectly. I mean, brother, we want to take them outside and wear them out. And if you think that we feel that way about our children and somebody else's children, how do you think God feels? Do you think God is going to leave one of His children alone? He's not going to leave us struggling and flopping. We're going to see it in the Gospel of Mark today. You're going to have a group of disciples. They're out rowing in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord goes walking to them on the water. They couldn't get to Jesus, but Jesus got to them in the midst of their troubles. We're going to see that. And so what I want to just say to you, I don't know why we're coming back here. It seems like we've done that. But for anxiety, for the things that get us to the point to where we just do not, we can't think clearly, the Lord is telling us how to think. How to think. So we think on the things of the Word of God. When you read the promises, child of God, read the promises, accept the promise as God writing to you. It's a love letter from heaven to you, so accept that promise. Accept it. Take that promise and hold it in your heart and believe that God's true, that God's going to keep that promise. And the only way that you're going to get those promises and understand those is by a consistent reading in the Word of God every single day. Do that. You got to do that. Now, so he comes down here in verse number 9, those things which you have both learned and received. That's when Paul was like formally teaching in the church, we said last week, and heard and seen in me. That's where they saw Paul modeling that do. Some things, as one writer says, are better caught than taught. It's easy to teach some things, but if you see it in action, it helps out. I may have told you, I mean, I've been preaching for 20-something years, and I still go listen to other preachers, and I try to glean some help from them. I try to watch what they do. I say, Brother Artie, I'd say you probably, if you could find a lick on a guitar, I'd say you'd probably borrow it from somebody. If you can find a good one, that'll work. So anything like that, you never get too old to learn. I was out on visitation a while back, Brother Hibner, and I watched how he went through the Scriptures with this particular person. And I thought to myself, I need to put that in my toolbox. Because that was the way that he went about that was so good. I understood what he was doing. So he could have sat down in a... Now, Brother Hibner could have taught this lesson and said, in this situation, here's what I do. And he could have written point one, point two, and point three. But for me, it's a whole lot easier to see it and hear it than necessarily just writing it down on a piece of paper. So, that's what Paul's talking about in verse number 9. Now, let's come down to verse number 10, and we'll get down to where I want to get today. We'll take about maybe 5-10 minutes or so. Brother Bob, you can ring at about 10:30 and then 10:35 again, brother. He says in verse number 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says this famous verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, and then he comes down here in verse 14, notwithstanding ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now let's stop and think about what Paul's doing. The thing we're going to look at in verse number 10 today, we've kind of done some review there, but this is the secret of Paul's contentment. Now what he's doing is he is rejoicing in verse number 10. I want you to see that he's rejoicing in verse number 10. We see his contentment in verses 11 and 12. And then we see his confidence in verse number 13. But what exactly is going on here? Now look at verse number 10 again. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you also were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now what's he talking about? What kind of care is he talking about? Well, we've got to read through to find out exactly what he's getting out here. He says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. So it almost seems as if Paul is doing without, and they're trying to help him so he doesn't do without. If you'll go down to verse number 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now many times the word in the Bible here when it says communicate has to do with the giving of money while someone is in need. The Bible says in Galatians, I think it's 6, over there, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. If I'm taught in the word of God, the person who teaches me the word of God, I need to make sure that his needs are met. Make sure he's got, you know, food and gas and all that other stuff. Well, that word communicate carries with it the same idea here. They say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, look here at verse number 15, because that's going to expand that a little bit. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So the communication that we're talking about here is the Philippian church contributing to the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now we do the same thing when we drop our offering into the offering plate, and it's marked missions. What we do is we're communicating unto those folks the money that God has laid on our heart to give, so that we can meet their needs as they are taking the gospel around the world. It was a great blessing this past Thursday when I was over in Milford, Ohio, at that Bible translators, Bible, you know, getting the gospel to unreached groups. Just a small group of pastors there, but it came with a lot of good ideas, some things to think about. But I got to spend some time, a little bit of time, with our missionaries in Nepal, Brother Luke Knickerbocker. We support him. Now, we don't officially support Justin Levine, but he was here at our missions conference. And we got to hear some more about the work firsthand, what's going on. We got to hear a little bit about the relief effort over there. And once I go off once we turn this off here, I'll tell you a little bit more about Brother Luke and his family. Send them back. So if I forget that, somebody just wave at me and remind me, and it won't take but 2 minutes to do. But it was a blessing to see the people we're helping to give to the work that's going on over there. And we took up a little bit extra offering for Brother Luke Knickerbocker to help him out with relief effort. He's going to be in the States here for about 3 more weeks. Then he and his family are going to fly back to Kathmandu and begin to start to work back again. So it's a blessing to be able to have a part in that. And that's the same type of giving and receiving that Paul's talking about. Now, if you look in verse 16 to give us further explanation on it, he says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessity. So here's this church in Macedonia, the northern part of Greece. Philippi's over here on the eastern side. Paul's away over here in Thessalonica. Tennessee would say he's a fur piece away. And you know what they did? Not only did the church at Philippi send once, they sent multiple times to take care of Paul's needs. They sent money to him. And now here's the true state of a minister. Look in verse 17. This is really what the preacher says. Not that I desire a gift. Any preacher who's interested in getting money needs to get out of the ministry. Anybody who does. We're not interested in money. But when you give to the ministry, it's not to pad my pocket. Oh no. Oh no. No sir. No ma'am. That money's not to pad my pocket. It is to give to the work of the ministry. Why is that? But I desire fruit, middle of verse 17, that may abound to your account. God is going to give you and me fruit for giving to the work of the ministry, giving to missions, giving to the work of the Lord that the gospel can go forth. Paul said over here in verse number, let me look at it again. Verse number 11 is that right? Lord help me. There it is. I told you my new glasses were supposed to be here. They hadn't come in yet. I'm still looking for them. I told Audrey, I said, they'll come in when I'm out of town. Watch and see. That's the way it always works. Paul said, I've run in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That's the end of verse 11. So Paul's not interested in so much getting a gift for himself, but he's interested that the Lord bless the effort and the giving of the church at Philippi. That's what he's interested in. See, when we give to the work of the Lord, God rewards us for doing so. One of these days, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and God, as Brother Artie, is going to bring into every single penny that I have given, you have given, others have given to the work of missions. I've always wondered, how's that going to work out? Brother Brian, I don't know how it's going to work out. I have no idea. I've heard other preachers talk about it. Is the Lord going to say, every bit of these people over here, all these missionaries received help by you financially, and all of these people, hundreds, maybe thousands of them, came to Christ because we supported that missionary to get him over there. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Brother Blue talked about planting that one kernel of corn in the mission conference. Remember that? And off those 3 years of corn, there were something like 1,500 kernels of corn that came from that one kernel he planted in the ground. Now, some people hear that and they say, well, you're telling me that if I give a dollar, God's going to give me $1,250. I didn't say that. No. God's not that type of God, regardless of what those fellows on the television say. And by the way, everybody on those other television shows, those preachers are asking for money, they tell you to plant seeds. Can you plant a seed, send a $50 seed, send a $100 seed to our ministry? Brother, the last time I planted a garden, I didn't plant somebody else's, I planted my own. I'm not planting seed in nobody else's garden. Now, if you want to give me a few tomatoes and jalapeno peppers out of it, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I hope you do. Amen. But brother, I'm not planting seed in somebody else's garden. I'm going to sow seed right here in this little garden, if you will, that God's placed me in, this church here. If I'm sowing, I'm going to sow right here in this field. And then send that fruit that we get, we're going to send that over to folks who need it. So, anyway, having said all that, now what Paul is addressing here is that he's interested that the church at Philippi receive fruit and reward because they gave sacrificially to the work of the ministry. And that's what we're talking about here in the last few verses of the book of Philippians. In fact, Paul says this in verse 18, but I have all and abound. I've got everything and I'm doing all right. I'm doing fine. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now what Paul is saying right there in verse number 19 is simply this, that when folk give to the ministry to contribute and they give sacrificially, God will take care of those folks. My van out there, it may break down on the trip to Tennessee tomorrow. It's got 227,000 miles on it. The Lord let us find a good deal. When I bought that van several years back, probably about 7 years ago, when I bought that thing, I called the Honda dealer in Morristown, Tennessee, told him what I had, told him what I'd give, and I worked the deal out on the phone within 30 minutes. And I drove the next day and got the van. Wasn't any haggling over any money or anything like that. They just, boom, there it was. Traded my car in. We got everything. Worked out well. The Lord blessed us to be able to get that vehicle. And the Lord has blessed that thing to keep going and going and going. Yeah, I had to replace the transmission in it. That's all right. I had money in the bank. God already provided for me. It was just a cash transaction. I like it when that works out. God provided. God provided for us to be able to do that. That was a blessing. And so God has allowed us to keep up with those vehicles just so we don't have to pour all kinds of money in maintenance, because we're given to the work of the Lord. We're given to the Lord's work. That's what we're interested in doing. And so that's the same thing Paul's saying here. When you give to the Lord's work, God will take care of you. Now, we're not telling you if you give $10, God's going to bless you with $100. That's not what it says. But your washer and dryer will keep going. I heard from somebody telling me, they said, if I wash the preacher's clothes, maybe we'll keep my washer and dryer keep going. Well, maybe so. Hallelujah. We appreciate folks taking care of us that way. But honestly, if we put the Lord's work first, and listen, it's not just every time you talk about this, people say, all the preachers talk about this. This is what Paul happens to be talking about in the context. But God's not just so much interested in your money, He's interested in your time. God wants your time. He wants your thought life. He wants every bit of that. The Lord comes first. The Lord comes first. And as the Lord comes first, and we place Him first, you'll see the Lord begin to maybe bless in areas where He hasn't necessarily blessed in the past. And the more faithful we get in walking with the Lord, the more faithful we give in doing what God says, you're going to see the hand of God move in response to that. So, now what we're going to do next week, that's kind of the overview. We'll come back next week and look at some of this a few verses here. I want to look in depth a little bit and talk a little bit. Paul mentions his rejoicing in verse 10, his being content in verse 11 and 12, and the confidence. And I will tell you this, a lot of times we'll look at verse number 13. You'll see Philippians 4:13 on bracelets. You'll see it on t-shirts. You'll see it on bumper stickers. And folks will say, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that is true, but we've got to understand the context that that's in. We're going to look at that. And the context that it's in is Paul's able to do the ministry, the work of God, whether or not he's got money coming in to help out. There's a work that God has called Paul to do, and God will bless in that work whether Paul has or does not have perhaps financial assistance to be able to take care of some of the needs that need to be done. So we'll look a little bit more at that in depth next week, Lord willing, when we come back here. So let's go ahead and we'll dismiss this portion in prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege to pray. Thank You, Lord, for the example of the Philippian church, their care for the man of God, the Apostle Paul. And Lord, I needed to hear these truths this morning, even the truths on anxiety. Lord, not having anxiety, not being full of care. And Lord, I need to hear these truths about what I need to think on, what I need to replace in my thought life. And Lord, that the example that we set is so important. Help us to honor You in all that we do. Bless our time in the service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.